Quran Quest. Yes, please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, seekers of knowledge and wisdom, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, the program where we study the verses of Quran one by one with our dear Sheikh Habib Zatar. With our dear Sheikh Habib. Salam alaikum, Sheikh Habib. Thank you for coming over.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always good to be here, man.
Sheikh Habib, we are on chapter 84, the splitter, and we're going through the verses one by one. There's a lot of things to learn from the Quran. And today we arrive on verse 13. Let's listen to these few verses and we'll be back for the discussion. Don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إنه كان في أهله مسرورا
Indeed, he had once been among his people in happiness. Indeed, he had thought he would never return to Allah. But yes, indeed, his Lord was ever of him seeing.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to verses 12 to 15 of chapter 84, The Splitter. So we're talking about people who receive damnation on the Day of Judgment. It appears that in the next three verses, that's 13, 14, and 15, the Quran is explaining why they receive damnation. It says, he used to be joyful among his folk. He thought he would never return, but his Lord sees him best. Can you give us a general overview about why this is bad and how it can hurt us?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد Generally looking, human beings are driven towards, you know, being happy and satisfied in their lives and, you know, just to be relaxed in this life. We talked about it before and again we emphasize it here that the idea of truly complete relaxation and satisfaction about the way you are and the way that you live in, the situations that you're in, the world that you're in, is impossible in this world. You know, there is the other day, actually, I was speaking to one of my friends, and he's actually a Christian, and we were just talking about Yemen, actually. He was stating that I was enjoying my time. It was like the first time in 2 years I was just so happy, so relaxed, and I started drinking juice. Then I don't know what happened to me, and I remember the picture of this Yemeni boy in the war. And I was just like, oh, I'm drinking this juice, and there are people getting killed out there. And I just felt so down and depressed and whatnot. See, to this point, even the situation that it doesn't have to do with you. He's a Christian, an American Christian, American-Mexican Christian in California, and that boy in Yemen made his day so sour. Where he was relaxed and whatnot. So that's the idea of relaxation. But then, you know, when you're, especially the people without belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and unfortunately sometimes people with the belief of Allah, they reach to a point where they are so relaxed with their life, they see their children, you know, they try to forget the problems, the left and right problems, and they state that this is completion, this is al-kamal, this is, you know, the perfection. Highest level, this is the perfection, this is it, right? They're so happy with it, and to a point where they would do everything in their power, even denying righteousness, even denying justice, even fighting justice for their own sake, for the sake of their, you know, perfect scenario life. And they melt, they dissolve into this world. And I think that we should have a break. I think we need more time to talk about this concept.
Yeah, and there are lots of notions which say that in the world, happiness is mixed with sorrow, as exactly. if it's a mold that you're
That's
making.
That's the same from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Really, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam knows how to touch the scars.
He does.
Ya Ali, Ya Ali.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back to discuss this issue more.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We're talking about how the people who will enter the blaze on the Day of Judgment were happy with their life. And just like you explained, Sheikh Habib, they thought this is it. This is the bliss that they're looking for. But you said, like you said, that in this world, the world is the happiness and the sadness is mixed. It reminds me that when you're poor, you have the misery of lacking the things you need. But when you're wealthy, then you're always stressed about protecting your wealth. So in both cases, you don't have absolute bliss.
We're born losers. Truly, it is truly what you stated. We enter this life and, you know, you look at the poor people, they're living through poverty, that hardship. At the same time, they have rahatul bal, which I see is more important, actually.
Peace.
Peace in mind. And then you have the wealthy where they're not living peace in mind. You know, so hectic, so chaotic. There's no middle ground. Anyway, what I want to say here is that true, sometimes by itself, being happy with your family and having a family is okay in Islam. It's even, you know, it's something that Islam encourages, actually, to, you know, have a happy lifestyle. It's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought in laws and brought in advice of how to run a family and whatnot. Yet, at the same time, this happiness cannot enslave you. Because if it enslaves you and becomes your king and your ruler, then therefore it will become evil, like how in this case. The reason of Revelation actually is about two of these couple of verses that we're talking about. Is about two brothers, actually. One of them was a martyr with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. The other was a disbeliever who fought against his own brother and was killed by Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. The brother did not want to believe because of the state, because he was so happy with his family and his wealth and the
with
other,
his status quo. He was happy with that.
He was happy with that, and the way that if he believed that his family will cause him problems, and that if he enters the Islamic religion, it will make it will split up his family, and you know all these hardships that the early Muslims, the first stage Muslims went through. He didn't want to go through that. He was enslaved by this happiness.
it was the cause of happiness, and it was the cause of him being an infidel, or being a disbeliever. These are the great examples of not being mustad'af, or those who have not reached the proof, who have no evidence. He had evidence. He was certain it's the right religion, but he fought against it. Why? For the sake of what he believed in, for the sake of what he thought and claimed to be his perfection, living with his family. And he thought that, he claimed himself that, "I will not return," like how the coming verses actually state.
It is this thing that apparently in human beings, that they think that bad things won't happen to them. Like when there's an outcry of some problem, we always think that it's going to happen to someone else. It's not going to happen to us.
It's human nature. I had it myself.
It's human nature. That's my
example,
point.
The perfect example is about coronavirus. When it was happening in Wuhan, I was like, "Oh, poor guys." But I didn't even think about it coming to our to our own city.
So this is in our nature to not be able to imagine that bad things are going to happen to us. How can we prepare ourselves to remember that if we're not careful, bad things can happen to us on the Day of Judgment? And you only have 30 seconds to ask the answer.
Real quick. Really, just a short answer. It's to open our eyes. Open our eyes to our reality about ourselves, about our lives, about the purpose of life. Allahumma arifni nafsi. Oh Allah,
reveal me to myself.
Exactly. When you know your reality, you understand for what you were created and what is your goal, and you start to understand that all these are tools for a specific goal.
And maybe like if you can put like half an hour a day at least reading the Quran and the Nahj al-Balagha carefully, both of them, I think that's a huge helper.
Yeah, especially the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, sometimes, you know, make you understand the concepts available in the Quran. Of course, we all emphasize about this, return to the scholars and the high-ranked scholars and the learned scholars to, you know, better interpretate the sayings so you don't fall into, you know, a lot of problems.
Okay, let's take a break and we will be back after the break for more.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and in the studio we have with us Sheikh Habib to help us go through verses 13 to 15 of chapter 84, the splitter. So we explained that some people are going to go to the blaze of the hellfire because they were so happy with their earthly life, the status quo, that they couldn't imagine a return that they should prepare for. As Imam Ali alayhi salam says, to send ahead provisions for. They're going there empty-handed. In the verse it says that indeed he thought he would never return. What is so negative about this verse?
First of all, I just want to, you know, just point out to what you stated, that not only the final cause of them entering the blazes was not them in love with their family, falling in love with their family, like how we talked about before the break, but rather because of the love of the family, they fought the idea of righteousness, they fought the idea of justice. I think that's very important too.
That they were actively trying to protect their status quo.
Yeah, that's what we try to emphasize before the break. Now, what's so negative about not believing in returning? Because the concept of returning, what is meant here is to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in a place. He does not have a place. He created place. He does not have a place. Thus, hence, you are returning to the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you believe you will not return, it means you do not believe on the Day of Judgment. And me personally, I've said it before and I'll say it again, banks will probably put a ban on me, but anyway, I'm going to say it, that if I didn't believe in the Day of Judgment, personally, I didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would be the first person to rob a bank. But really just holding me back, actually, is actually the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come and tell me, you know, if he does a hisab yaseer for me, or, you know, an easy reckoning, he will ask me, why did you steal the bank? That's just the easy one. And that's enough for me to, you know, feel ashamed about it. So the fact of returning and there being a Day of Judgment really is what causes justice in society. If everyone was not to believe that they will be judged, you would do anything. And leaving alone morals, because morals come from like even atheists have morals. The reason that they have it is because they want to save, like they believe in a system.
that society needs this. But what, for example, if you're a poor, like you're living through hardship, there are like problems, and there's a chance to do something that's wicked but really helps you out. And if you don't believe in a day of judgment, it will be easy for you, especially if you got away with it, if there are like no laws or whatnot.
So you don't need to be constantly watched over, but we all know about a lot of Muslims who believe in the Day of Judgment. They pray constantly, but we know that we have seen lots of sins from them. They believe in the Day of Judgment, but they're sinning.
Two quick answers. First one is they haven't understood the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they haven't believed truly in the Day of Judgment, because the true believer doesn't do that. That's the first thing. So they should really recheck their belief and try to understand the belief better. Secondly, sometimes it comes from our jahl. We have ignorance. The verse from our ignorance. We have the verse. We also have it in the supplications of the Imam alayhi salam, that when I did this sin, I didn't do it to, you know, break your rules or to fight against you. I did it while being ignorant.
I didn't do it to violate you.
Yeah, it was like a slip.
I slipped. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Habib. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. We have to sign off now. But if you missed it, you can always download an archive of this episode and previous episodes from the internet. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, and a lot of studying. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.